if I speak like this now. Can you hear me a bit more clearly? There we go. Good morning. It's really nice to see you all. Good to have you with us this morning. If you don't know me, I'm Andy. I'm the vicar. And it's great to gather together like this, Sunday by Sunday, as a church family. And I'm really glad that you've joined us today. I hope you've had an enjoyable week. It might be that you're old enough to go to school and you've arrived at the school holidays and you think, brilliant, school is over for weeks and weeks and it's time for the holiday. Some of you, I know, had an exciting week because you were at Becky's wedding a few days ago. You travelled down to see Becky and Daniel get married and that was a very exciting occasion. But maybe you've turned up at church today and it's been a really busy week and you're exhausted. Or maybe it's been a week where you've had some sad news or some disappointing news, and it's been a difficult week. Well, what we're going to think about this morning is we're going to look at a part of the Bible that tells us the most important thing. The most important thing there could be. That's what we're going to think about later. We're going to be thinking about how Jesus died for sins, was buried, was raised to life, and then he showed himself. It's the most important thing there is. And we're going to be thinking about that. Christopher, one of the leaders of our church, is going to be speaking to us from the Bible a bit later on. We're going to be spending all of our time together this morning, whether we're very young or whether we're very old. All of our church family will be together for all our time today. We'll have children's groups and so on a bit later on in the summer. But I hope you enjoy being all together this morning. And we're going to begin our time by praising God for who he is, that he's the God. He gives us this wonderful, most important news about Jesus. So please would you stand, and let's sing together.
You're only safe if you hold on. Solomon's going to come and show that now. Here's Solomon, he's coming here. Solomon's going to stand on this chair, and he's not very safe like that. But if he holds on, much more safe. If you hold on, you're safe. Thank you, Solomon. And, oh, they told me I clicked this, but they didn't show me how. How do I click this? So when I was young, they used to have these in the parks. And you'd go in the middle, and you would sort of hold on the side and push like on a scooter, and it would go round and round and fast, but it was only good if you held on. If you don't hold on, you fall off. And then when I was young, we lived near a kind of a theme park, and it had its slides. It had something actually called the Big Dipper, which was really big, and you absolutely have to hold on. But a bit like here, not was not like that, but all of those things, you have to hold on. And that's what we're talking about this morning in our talks. Keep holding on. Don't let go of this. It's the most important thing. This is the good news. And if you lose this, if you don't hold on to this, you've lost everything.
As Andy said, we're reading this morning from the International Children's Bible, so the words will be on the screen behind me. And I'm reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and beginning at verse 1, which tells us all about the good news of Christ. Now, brothers, I want you to, and sisters, I want you to remember the good news I brought to you. You received this good news, and you continue strong in it. And you are saved by this good news. But you must continue believing what I told you. If you do not, then you believed for nothing. I, Paul, passed on to you what I received, and this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried, and that he was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say, and that he showed himself to Peter and then to the 12 apostles. After that, Jesus showed himself to more than 500 of the believers at the same time. Most of them are still living today, but some have died. Then Jesus showed himself to James, and later to all the apostles. Last of all, he showed himself to me, as to a person not born at the normal time. All the other apostles are greater than I am. This is because I persecuted the church of God, and this is why I am not even good enough to be called an apostle. But God's grace has made me what I am, and his grace to me was not wasted. I worked harder than all the other apostles, but I was not really the one working. It was God's grace that was with me. So then, it is not important if I preach to you or if the other apostles preach to you. We all preach the same thing, and this is what you believed. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we've just been singing about the really important thing that we're not going to let hold of. We heard about it in the reading, the thing where we've got to hang on to the gospel. Today we're looking at what is the most important part of the Christian faith. First a minute, what's the most important part of getting up? What's the most important part of getting up? He got it in one. He said getting out of bed. Some people think getting dressed. Doesn't matter, you can wear your pajamas all day. That's not the important part of getting up. Brushing your teeth, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you never brush your teeth. No, it doesn't matter. But if you're going to get up, you have to get out of bed. That's the most important thing. What's the most important part of your lunch? What's the most important part of your lunch? He knows the answer. I'm not going to ask him. Kevin, what's the most important part of your lunch? Sorry? Food. Well, you can't argue with that, can you? I thought you were going to say something else. We'll come back to that. I think food probably is. What do you think's the most important part? Eating food, that's the most important thing, yep. Bread, yes. So if you think bread is the most important part of lunch, then what we're looking at this morning is like bread. If you think pudding is the most important lunch, that was what you were going to say, well, then it's like pudding, what we're looking at this morning. If you think vegetables are the most important part of lunch, then this is like vegetables for you. What we're looking at is the most important part. What's the most important part of a cricket match? Zoe? Actually playing cricket. These are really deep thinkers down here. Some people think, yeah, what do you think? The match itself, cricket itself is the most important thing. No, some people might think the end is the most important thing because then you know who's going to win or not, but sometimes it's so obvious it's not so important. But, yep. The start, some people think the start, that sets the tone for the match. Well, whatever you think's the most important part of cricket, that's what this morning's about, the Christian faith. What's the most important part of swimming? Most important part of swimming, I'm not asking the people down here clever answers. Yeah, yes? Oh, actually learning how to swim, another one, yeah. Yes, most important part of swimming? Floating, I think floating too, because if you don't float, you probably drown. And that's, what do you think, Matthew or Simeon? Splashing. also important. If you think splashing is the most important part, then we are looking at the splashing of Christian faith. Here is this. Remember, we're looking at the most important part. Keep holding on to this. And the first part is Christ dying. And look at what it said in our Bible reading. Keep holding on to Christ dying. I passed on to you what I received. And this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say. This is the most important. This is the vegetables. This is the floating. This is the splashing. Christ died for our sins. Now, this is a bit interesting. It says Christ. Christ is who Jesus is. But it's not Jesus' surname. He wouldn't have been Mr. Jesus Christ. Christ is sort of like a job, like king. It literally means the anointed one, because they used to anoint the king with oil. The Christ is God's chosen king. And the Bible even says God's chosen king is God's son. So the most important thing to hold on to is God's chosen king, God's son, died for our sins. Now, it's very easy to believe that someone died. People, animal, plants, in fact, all living things eventually die. But God's king, God's son, died? That's a big thing. Here is a picture of the Prince of Wales. Imagine if something was so bad that the Prince of Wales had to die for it. Well, imagine how bad something must be if God's own kingly son has to die for it. How bad can that be? How badly we must need it? Because how can God have let his son, the chosen king, die? Well, what does it say? Christ died for our sins. Now, our sins, they're the wrong things we do. All the things where we say, God, I'll do what I want to do. I don't happen to listen to you, God. I'll decide what I want to do, not you. And it is most important that we hold on to the fact that God's kingly son died for our sins. Now, God can't die, but God's son, who came as a man, he could die, and he died for our sins. Imagine a bit like this, and Solomon is so good at standing on a chair. Solomon, can you come out again? And I want another volunteer to stand on a chair. Yes, with glasses. Is your name, what's your name? I forget. Joshua. Very good name. So don't put them on yet. Just stand on, show everyone how good you are at standing on a chair. And I've got two T-shirts. I've got one T-shirt that represents sins. Shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to your rules, all sorts of the bad things. And I think you'll fit this one. Put on the sinful T-shirt. And we'll have Solomon. He is wearing a T-shirt that hasn't got any nasty, dirty marks on, hasn't got any sins. It's perfectly like new and clean. And Solomon, if you put on that. So there we've got Joshua here in a T-shirt with lies and greed and hate and all the sort of things which we do, which we have in our hearts when we do what we want and don't care about God's wants. God's kingly son had no sins of his own, no hate in his heart, no lies, no meanness. And the amazing thing is, it's as though Christ swaps for our T-shirt. So swap T-shirts, please, Solomon and Joshua. And now, well, just a minute. Who's going to get there first? My money's on Joshua. Oh, nope, I lost. And so now Jesus has got all our sins and he dies on the cross for our sins, and we have got all Jesus not sinning. That's why we needed Christ to die for our sins, so that we could be forgiven. Let's give Solomon and Joshua a clap, and you can sit down again now. You can put your t-shirts here. Thanks, boys. So that is the amazing thing, that Christ died for us, and he could do that because he became a man. God really became a man so he could stand in for us. And God said this was going to happen years before in the prophets, in the Bible, and God did this amazing thing that he promised he would do. Did God's kingly son really die? Yes, he did. So dead that he was even buried. The Bible said, I passed on to you what I received, and this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried. He was really dead. He didn't pass out and recover in the cool grave. He died and was buried in the tomb with the stone rolled over. He really did die. God is just. It was right to punish humans for turning against God and doing things he said not to. But God is so full of mercy, he became one of us and took the punishment on himself. This good news is amazing. God has been so kind. He sent his kingly, godly son to die for our sins. Jesus is so kind. We're going to sing about that now in our next song. And it's got some actions to the song. And if you are sort of big, burly, 28-year-old young man, we particularly want to see you doing the actions. Please be seated. So, keep holding on to Christ dying. And there's a bit more to the most important part. It's got two parts to it: Christ dying and Christ being raised to life. Let's read it from the Bible. It says, I passed on to you what I received, and this was the most important, that Christ died for our sins, as the scriptures say, that he was buried and was raised to life on the third day, as the scriptures say. God's kingly son died for our sins, was buried, and was raised to life on the third day. So Jesus, God's king, was killed and placed in the tomb on Friday, the first day, then was Saturday, the second day, and then was Easter Day, the third day. Now, it is easy to believe that all living things die. Dying isn't a miracle. It is a miracle when something that is truly dead is raised to life again. And only God, who made everything out of nothing and brought things to life, only God can make dead things alive again. Sometimes a plant looks dead, and if you give it some water, it revives. That plant wasn't really dead. But if the plant is really dead, truly dead, then you can't raise it to life by just giving it a bit more water. Only God can truly raise the truly dead. When the disciples went to the tomb on Easter morning, they didn't expect that Jesus would be raised from the dead, even though he had told them that he would be, and even though there are prophecies in the Bible that God's Holy One would not see corruption, that there would be life on the third day, and so on. And they were going with more spices so that the dead body that they expected to find would be stopped from going more smelly. But when they got there, his body was not there. The only thing that was worth having was there. The long cloth that his body was wrapped in was still there, but not Jesus. An angel told them that Jesus had been raised and to go to Galilee to see him. And they did, and he was. The risen Jesus appeared to his disciples. You know, they used to be so scared, but now they were brave. Their Lord was risen from the dead. Peter saw him. The whole 12 apostles saw him. Jesus appeared and proved he was alive. But actually, remember, Jesus is fully man and fully God. It was not right for God to remain in the tomb. God in man, yes, had suffered for our sins. He'd even suffered all the hardship of being alive for 30 years and living in humble human flesh. But it was not right for God's Son to remain dead. He really had died for our sins. And it is proved because he has been raised. He really is God's Son, and it is proved because he has been raised. He really is the one with the right to rule the world because God says so. And that's why this is also part of the most important part. Now, if I told you that my father had met Tintin, or my cousin had met Batman, or that my mother had met Dougie, or someone I knew had met Asterix and Obelix, or my wife had met Miss Tiggywinkle, or another friend had met Little Red Riding Hood, what would you think? Zoe's a bit rude. Why wouldn't Zoe think first, "Oh, that's interesting. Can you prove that?" And what if I then said, "Well, I don't actually have proof, but they might have met them." What would you say then? I think you meant to say, "Well, they're not real. They cannot really have met them. You are deluded." Well, the Bible is about a real person and something that really happened. And at the time that Paul was writing to the Corinthians, there were lots of people who they could have asked, "Did you see Jesus when he was raised from the dead?" And they could have said, "Yes, I saw it." Because the Bible tells us that at one time Jesus appeared to more than 500 followers, and most of them were still alive at that time. And Paul says he saw him too. Paul says, "Hold on to what they saw." And of course, that's a little bit like our teachers at school. They tell us about things that happened and we didn't see, maybe because we weren't born yet, but lots of people saw those things and so we believe them. And in this chapter, which we're going to look at in the next few weeks, we're going to see why it's important to keep believing that Jesus died and was buried and was raised and appeared. But this morning, we're just going to remember that we need to keep holding on to that good news, not forgetting it, not changing it, not doubting it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your kingly Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can trust and hope in him because he died for our sins and he rose again and he appeared. Help us to keep that hope and to share your promises with others around us. And thank you for your love. We love you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, I forgot to show that picture. That was a plant. I'll see what else I forgot to show. Keep holding on to Christ dying and in the tomb and Christ being raised to life and appearing. That's all.